Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
Welcome to another episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Show, slash Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Before I introduce you, my guest, I have to say, you know how people are worried that AI is going to take over the world and everyone's jobs? Well, you shouldn't, because I'm about to kill AI at some point. That little crap keeps on saying, hey, you know, you want to do this automation? Here's this one automation. It's only going to take you 5 minutes to set up. 2 hours later, still not set up, and I want to rip its head off. Where I know it's only virtually, but mark my words, AI is going to die. And I'm going to be the Terminator who takes it down, damn it. Where's your data centers? Okay, I kid, but you know, that little crap, just had enough of it today. I was like, damn you. Anyway, today's guest, Tim Thomas, is back, and he's the founder of Breathwork in Bed. He also sponsors my show. Thank you. I appreciate your help and support of the show. I bow down to you.
Jimmy, it's great to be here, and I can't believe it's been a year since we were last on the show together.
Yikes, it's been a year. I feel old.
How old are you, Jimmy?
32.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you get it all the time. You got a very young complexion. It's do you get much sun on you over there in Pennsylvania?
Not in the winter.
Yeah. See, I think you need those happy lights installed in your place, because lights that just give you light, that's only a very limited frequency. You can get these happy lights or seasonal lights that give you a bigger spectrum. It actually super healthy for us to get sunshine on us, or as close as possible to sunshine. In Australia, we are blessed with a lot of natural light. I always wonder, in the winter months, do you guys have like those infrared saunas or these day beds? What do you guys do to compensate for your lack of light? Or do you just drink more and get cranky?
I think the second part. Well, I don't drink, so I'm just cranky. But I do actually have a light that actually does get me up for my seasonal affective disorder. So it's very slim, because obviously there's not much space there.
Yeah. Oh, and you can get them in all shapes. So I mean, I've got one. Can you see that red light on me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's my red light, and that sort of, you can change the spectrum of it to be near infrared, far infrared, you know, penetrate your skin to activate your light receptive cells. And the more I do this work, because the funny thing is, being a, you know, the breath work in bed sleep specialist, I get so many people asking, what's the best thing I can do to get to sleep? And they always think it's a evening routine. And yes, there are things you can do in the evening, but one of the most powerful things that I tell people is actually what you do in the morning. A lot of people don't know that the first spectrum of light coming over the horizon at sunrise has a very unique frequency. But once it goes through your eyes, and these eyes have to be naked, and I know you've got good looking glasses on, Jimmy, but yeah, to get your light intake, you can't have anything between, not even a glass framed, between your eye and that sunrise. And it goes through your retina and it hits a part of your brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. I hope I said that right. And that part of your brain releases all these naturally beneficial chemicals. But one thing it does is gets all your internal clocks in sync. Okay, all your circadian rhythms in sync. So, you know, if you've ever had the experience of, okay, end of the day, really tired, flick the lights off, get into bed, and there's a part of you still running around looking for work, there's an internal clock that's potentially on the wrong timing. So taking the time to look at that sunrise is one of the best things you can do to tell you, to have your clocks in balance. So when you go to sleep, you actually can drift into that space with everyone running off the same, you know, timeline.
That's what I try to, I always do that every single night too. Last year, let's say I got into some bad habits towards the end of the year. I was finishing up some annoying projects. Let me just paint you a picture real quick. So I'm only one person for running my business, right? Don't have anybody working for me. I don't even have an office. I'm using my bedroom. There, see, it's my bed and karate belt. See, it looks amazing, right? Well, that's what happens when you run an online business. You don't need any fancy offices or anything. Last summer, before my migraine started, I thought of, hey, you know what? If I could hand off marketing to an AI agent to help me market my brand more and be more consistent, that way when I'm in college classes, I don't have to worry about, oh crap, I forgot to promote this. Oh crap, I forgot to do this. So fast forward. Well, I got all the marketing stuff set up, but it was towards the end of the year, and I was kind of just rushing through everything, trying to get everything done, and I overworked. And on top of all that, I had a 6-month migraine that didn't go away for 6 months, which was so much fun. And on top of that, my depression was like literally just was out of control. And so I was like, oh, I love this so much. And I have a neurologist who was had me on these different medications, one that literally almost killed me in the shower.
How does that kill you in the shower?
Well, one, it causes muscle it caused muscle weakness. And I said to her, I was like, you forgot to tell me that that caused muscle weakness. She's like, I don't think I forgot to tell you that. I was like, I don't care what you have to say. I'm like, I think even during my 6-month migraine, I would think I would remember and recall you telling me the top 3 most common side effects. And one of them happened to must be muscle weakness. And it's like, great. So
were you training karate when you were taking this? Did you notice anything different there?
Oh yeah. I noticed there was a lot of difference in karate and whatnot. Like I had a lot of fatigue. At least the one thing I know, the migraine was caused from my old antidepressant. So at least I knew what caused it. And when I finally got rid of it, was my last hospital visit. Even though my neurologist said, oh, I helped you fix it. It's like, but I just say to her, it's like, whatever helps you sleep at night.
Right. Yeah, no. So if I'm hearing you right, Jimmy, a pill for your depression caused your migraine headaches, and was it the pills you took for your migraine that created the muscle weakness? Am I hearing that right?
It was the second pill of antidepressants that was causing the muscle weaknesses and whatnot. It was supposed to boost get rid of my depression, but it did the opposite. And then finally, and it's funny, I felt worse on it and it was worse getting off of it than being on it too. So I was like, there's not enough black box labels on this thing.
Yeah. They never tell you how hard it is to come off these things, Jimmy. I certainly hear your pain there, buddy.
Though I'm at least on a better one that has less of side effects and seems better for my body, though. So I'm like, and I feel a lot of people from in my close circles of friends or whatnot, it's like, I hope you have a better time this year than you did last year. It's like, well, the bar is set low. 6 months of hell and a whole year of hell. Yeah, I don't think this year can be any worse.
Do not say those words. Well, it can't get any worse than this. Jimmy, come on, they're listening. The moon's about to plow into the earth, Jimmy. It's got your name on it.
I just say I'm filtered, didn't I? I just said I'm filtered somewhere on my website, I believe.
Yeah. We're going to meet again in 12 months time. And I'm like, you know, when I said that, I was so wrong. It could have gotten so much worse. But this year, no.
Exactly. Of course, Tim Thomas will run this right in my face. Thanks. You know, I think every time when we get out of this show, we need to get so much trouble and whatnot.
Come on, you already told me I can't swear. That's a pretty hard thing for an Aussie to not do. I'm holding myself back.
Yikes. So what have you been up to since the last time we've been on the show?
It has been a year, Jimmy. It's been a year. I have seen that, you know, with you mentioned about the proliferation of AI, when anything and the way AI gets you is they do promise, hey, I'll make your life easier. Just give me some money and I'll make your life easy. But it never quite works like that. And it's kind of like turning social media into social junk mail, you know. And they think, okay, well, if you're only getting one hit from 10,000 envelopes, let's send out a million envelopes, you know, pay this, pay that. But people are becoming more numb to that. And so my observation with my dyslexic pattern recognition is authenticity is what this world needs. Trust is the new currency. And that's not something that can be forced, scaled, or rushed. And I've just observed when you can sit with someone and talk and have an authentic conversation, it almost doesn't matter the content. Two people connected have this sort of, it's like sitting around this warm fire and everyone gets what they want from a different angle. Even if it's just they feel safe enough to drop their guard and they can let their inner compass go, oh, here's what I want to do next. And so with that observation, and this is just a theory, right? There's no real hard data to back it up, but it felt right to me. I've done well over 100 podcasts since you and I spoke and targeted towards, you know, my people, which is veterans and first responders. And, you know, I sponsored your show, Jimmy, because I just saw the efforts you were putting in, and I can't do what you do, but if I can in some way improve the quality of your sleep naturally without pills, because, you know, when I told a doctor I couldn't sleep, I lost 6 years of my life to pills. No one told me that breath work could turn off my overthinking mind. And I thought, well, if I can help Jimmy improve his sleep, he's going to be able to serve his audience. And I've observed if someone has a heart of service, even if you're being lazy, if you give them one cup of energy, they turn it into 50, you know, cause they're always thinking, how can I multiply this out? So that's why I thought, well, I was quite happy to sponsor you with a year's membership with the Breathwork in Bed, sleep app, which, you know, guides you to sleep and guides you out of bed. Sometimes with words that can't always be repeated on certain podcasts. but there's a choice. But here's what I'm saying. I've got, by the way, can you hear that snoring in the background at all?
A little bit, but whatever.
Well, I've got this big brown dog, chocolate Labrador, inside, and he's not normally inside, but it's a hot day in Australia, and I just sort of brought him indoors, but he's got such a big head, when he snores, it sounds like a human. So if you hear that going off in the background, just know what that is. So that has been my year, having as many authentic conversations with people who have a heart of service. I've done a small amount of traveling within Australia. There's one place that I go every year that I grew up in, and it was the home of the great white shark. And as a kid, I used to wake up screaming with these nightmares of great white sharks. And it's not like the boogeyman, you know, check the cupboard. He's not real. You know, he's not real, but he kind of scares you when the lights are out. But with great white sharks, you can't say, well, they're not real, because they're really real, right? And so I go back there every year and I swim in those waters to clear my head and connect to this sort of ancient wiring comes out of me. And I have a really productive 3 to 6 months after that. And this year, for the first time ever, I led a group of men. And in Australia, there's one place you can actually swim with great white sharks. They're in a cage, but they chuck out, you know, the tuna blood and the burley, and the great whites come in, and you can get a sort of an up close look. The day we went out, it's in Port Lincoln. We went out to what's called the Neptune Islands. It was, you know, cold. We had the wetsuit on. And the day we were there, we didn't see any great whites. Unfortunately, you pay, I think it was like $600 or $700 to get in the water with them.
Jesus.
Yeah, but you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing. And funnily enough, the guys that I brought on board were like, yeah, this is like a lifetime goal. But then I took them further west along the coastline. We actually, you know, got in to the water where people don't normally get into the water. And it was sort of a face your fears type thing, getting in and swimming around the place. And it's so good to create environments for people to flourish. So my joy these days is, yeah, I love flourishing myself, but I get extra joy when I see others flourish. And we naturally flourish, but we also tend to naturally accumulate blockages. Fear, fatigue, you know, there's all these things that block us from our natural, energetic, flourishing, generous state. And I know when I've created a connection, because I'm just human, I don't have enough energy for two, but if I can help them create a connection to something super powerful, call it what you want, call it divine, call it nature, call it unseen intelligence. When the event finishes, it's not just, okay, that's in the past. They have a taste for the things that they do that bring about that clearing of the blockages and a restoration of connection. And that has some of the biggest joy points I've had. Besides, my daughter got her P plates, driving. She can, you know, drives me around the place. And my kids are old enough now they don't need me anymore. The only time they're with me is when they choose to. So it's really cool when this last year, they're independent doing their own thing. But when they do hang out with me, you know, it's because they've chosen to. It's not because they have to. And that's been a new experience as well. And like I said, outside of that, a great joy for me is seeing when I've had some hand in removing a blockage for them to connect to the person they're supposed to be. They get a taste for it. And then like, yeah, that felt good. More please. That felt good. More please. And the guys who went on that journey with me, a lot of them are speaking on how it unlocks something inside of them that they don't want to lose. They want to keep daily connection. So they've, you know, just, one guy this morning called me up saying, hey, Tim, you know, since last November, I've always been getting in the salt water every day. And that's what I'm about to do. See you later. And I'm like, hell yeah. You know, so there's been a lot of good experiences within myself, having a lot of, you know, authentic, conscious conversations. And I've been privileged to see the impacts of some of the work too. Because, you know, right now, Jimmy, you and I, we're talking, we're having a good time. We can't see how this conversation is rippling out either side of us. And it's in digital format, so who knows? It could be long after we're dead that people are listening to this. And, you know, funny kind of segue, speaking of sharks and impacts that we don't know about, I've had a few NDEs, a few near-death experiences, and one of which was a shark attack, actually. I like spearfishing, and every time you get in the water and you're spearing fish, there's always sharks. And this one time, and it wasn't a big one, it was maybe about 2 meters, but the thing was, you don't know how strong they are until they've got hold of you. I've done martial arts for about 20 years. You know what it's like to get hit and get thrown on the ground, and you got a certain sense of your body, right? But I never, ever, ever, have you heard, do you have the term ragdolled over there? Like I never felt my body do this. Like that was me underwater when this shark grabbed my leg and was shaking the sugar out of me. And I had this NDE, right? My whole life flashed before my eyes. And the point of the story isn't, you know, the stupid shark attack. It's afterwards someone said, Tim, do you think that was a spiritual experience? And I'm like, absolutely not, because it was just my life as a sequence and nothing new. It was cool. Like, you know, I saw everything all at once. That was cool, but it wasn't new. It was just my life through my own eyes. I said, if that was like a really spiritual experience, you wouldn't just have like a linear line of action, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You would have an action and then how it impacted others and then others and others and others. And, you know, I have a faith and I think that once this form is finished, God's going to show me the book of knowledge. And he's going to say, okay, Tim, here's your life as you saw it through your own eyes. And here's your life as I saw it. And he'll show how one action created this family tree. And it might not have been a big action. It might not have been the thing that you had to work hard for. And so I just sort of, the only compass, because I don't think we can see fully the impacts on others. And that's why I said it was nice, because I knew these guys and I have weekly contact with them. I could see the impact of my actions. And that's rare though. It's rare to actually see the impact of your own actions. Even if you really help people, they don't often see it for themselves enough for them to go, you know what? Thank you. I've spent the last decade working with some pretty hard case veterans and I know I've done a lot of good, but I'd be very lucky, maybe 0.5% to 3% of people actually see the help that was given and they go, oh, you know what? Thanks for that. And so the point is I can't do my acts of service with any form of expectation. I've just got to do it because I see it as, you know, my duty. So to lead those men to see that impact, but also just to share how that shark attack had me present to, well, I can only see so much. I think inside of me, we all have a guidance system that our brain doesn't understand, but if we follow it, we start getting, what tells us we're on that right path is we start getting more connection to others, you know, more genuine happiness inside of ourselves, more, you know, peace. And that, I believe, is the compass for those powerful ripples outside of us. So we can't see, but it just, you get the reward when you're on that path. And you know, I've always found conversations like this where you can just share a great way to, you know, like I didn't come here thinking I was going to share about this, but here we are. You know, it's just amazing, you know, what kind of comes up. And I'm not sharing this stuff to, you know, here's this big, tough Australian guy. I believe, you know, we get put through these things to share the lessons learned, because, and I'm just probably extra thick skinned, you know, if I'm anything, I'm a black belt in, you know, effing myself up. But from that acute position, I've had to become a black belt in healing. And then if I can articulate that, I can save somebody, you know, learning the hard way, the lessons, you know. Because what I didn't mention about the shark attack was my mate Jimmy. Now, his name was Jimmy, believe it or not. His name was Jimmy, the guy who was in the water with me. Now, Jimmy was a bit of a, I'm not sure if I can say a-hole or not. Can I?
I think you just did it, so. I don't
know. Aerosol can. Jimmy was a can of aerosol. And pretty hard to be around, right? But it's funny how these aerosol cans are exactly who you need when you're in a tight spot, right? And so I'm not dying because this shark is on my leg. I'm dying because I'm drowning. It's grabbed me and it's twisted me up, and there's all these spearfishing lines wrapping me up, right? And I've got every right to freak out because, okay, I'm about to die. Jimmy comes down and he's got this look in his eye. I can see it through his mask. He's like, I've got this and I've got you. He had his spear gun ready to take a shot. He was a fellow commando, you know, and like I said, hard guy to be around, but these guys seem to be the right guy when you're in a tight spot. And in that moment, when I saw that look in Jimmy's eyes, even though my whole body was completely stressed and about to die, I learned the importance of trust and the power of trust. Because when I saw that and I had trust in another human, even though everything in my system had the right to freak out, it was like this, boom, this curtain just fell off me of stress and worry. And I'm like, okay, you got me. And it was full body change. And I sort of turned my body enough for Jimmy to take the shot on this shark. And I'm like, you know, okay, well, even if he misses, I'm going to die anyway. What's a spear in my leg? You know, I've got a shark on my leg, spear through my leg. Nice one, Jimmy. And he makes the shot. He hits it clean through the shark. And it's quite a trust thing to let somebody shoot right next to your leg and see that spear go right next to your leg in this position where you're getting tossed around the place.
Jeez Louise.
But the thing was, it just pissed the shark off more. It got more angry because spears aren't bullets. It's just like putting a hole through something. And sharks, that they're millions of years of evolution. They're built for impact. And so it just got more peeved off. And the thing that saved me, Jimmy, was I was wearing an electrical device called a shark shield, okay? And it's this thing that pulses through the water, and sharks have this electrical sensor in their nose. And it's sort of like, you know, getting kicked in the privates, because that's the most delicate part of the shark, their nose. And the electrical things override that, right? But the thing is, it only works when you've got it turned on.
Oh, God.
That's you didn't have it turned on. I didn't turn it on. Oh, you can turn it on. And I'm like, bloody hell, this shark. And guess where the on switch was?
On the back?
No, right where the shark was biting.
Oh, great.
Okay, so it had bit me, and there's newer versions of the shark shield now, but you know when the new versions, I mean, you might be too young to remember this, but the very new versions of the mobile phones come in, they're like big and chunky.
Yeah.
Well, I had this big chunky first version of the shark shield, and I was on my leg, and this shark had bit that. Of all the places to bite, it bit that. And the on switch was right inside its mouth where it was biting. And you know, I'm tied up in lines. Jimmy's at the surface trying to pull on the shark. The shark's fighting it, biting me. And I'm like, well, my whole body's dead anyway. What's the point? I might as well try and turn this thing on. If I lose a finger, the whole thing's going to die anyway. Let's give this a go. And so I, you know, when a like if you try and bite something, oh, there's like a bit of a gap, like in the corner of the mouth.
Yeah.
So the shark is kind of like, ah. And so I kind of reach my finger in just in the crack of its mouth, just wriggle it in there. And I'm feeling around inside this mouth. Oh, there's the on switch. Flick the thing on and then boom, this shark just lets go, you know? So it works when you turn it off, you know?
And you should have it on.
Well, the thing was, so for that, I'm stabbing this thing in the eye. Like I pulled my knife out. I'm not going down quietly. I'm stabbing this thing right in the eye. So when people say, oh, I punched the shark and it went away, I'm like, nah, man, it just wasn't hungry on the day. You know, don't give yourself some false bravado, punch it. No, if they want you, not even stabbing them is going to, anyway. And it's, by the way, it's actually really hard to stab something in the water when you're getting tossed around. I'll just throw that in for effect. But yeah, once I turned this thing on, it just took off, you know, and when I came to the surface, I don't know if I've ever tasted oxygen as sweet as that first breath.
You know, I was going to, so you mean every movie that has sharks in it, you mean stabbing something like that is not easy? What the hell?
Hollywood lied to us, Jimmy.
In Hollywood.
I wonder if they've said anything else that we shouldn't believe.
I probably could come up with a list. Give me a couple minutes. Hollywood's silly secrets you never knew. I should write a book, damn it. I probably get sued, but whatever. I don't have a penny to my name, so. So, you know, I think you beat me from last, I think you beat my year last year, so I think you, I say you won.
Well, it was an intense moment, but it didn't last 6 months. So you would have probably won the marathon. I probably won the sprint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, towards the end of last year, I mean, I don't know what kept me going. That 6 months of migraines was just brutal as hell. I mean, I went to karate with that through all 6 months because you're probably wondering, why the hell would you do that? Well, karate has been, it was consistent. I knew what time to show up. Even if I was forgetting the moves and combinations, I was like, you know what? I'd rather, it's consistent. It's part of my daily regular activity.
Get you out of the house, man.
Yeah. So it's like, I could curl up in a ball at any point. So it's like, yeah, I'd rather go curl up a ball on the mat at the moment and get my ass kicked versus than just thinking about the migraine all the whole time. And the one thing that I think frustrated me throughout the months, though, is that a lot of people only focus on certain aspects of it. They saw just the dark thoughts that I had. So there's like, Jimmy, you need to get some extra help. And I'm like, I am getting help, but how do you, like, you can't heal from the depression and everything else when you're in constant 24/7 pain. It doesn't work because your body is just in fight or flight mode for 24/7 constantly. And so it's like,
so when you were in those low spots, how did you keep moving forward?
I have my friends, family members, my therapist, I mean, a neurologist who was trying to help, but and she did help to an extent, but I think she could have literally nipped in the butt a lot faster, in my opinion. So when she had me come into office in her office downtown Philly, She hooked me up to these two IV bags twice, day one and day two. I went home with a level 4 migraine. So what I mean by that, so one being none and 10 being, well, hell. So I started with 10 out of 10, went down to a 4. Now she sent me home with a 4. Now I thought, I was like, okay, so what's the next treatment? So she gave me these pills that's like, take it whenever you feel like you're having a migraine coming on. And I'm like, but the pain never went away. And she's like, oh, it should go away once these pills kick in. They never went away. And I went months go by, still have no, and the migraine started, and you might find this far-fetched, but the timeline actually adds up. It started in July, and I started feeling it after July 4th weekend, and at first I thought it was just, I didn't drink enough water because it was a very, very hot summer day, and I was standing in front of, I think it was 600-degree grill. I was grilling burgers that day, and I was starting to get lightheaded, and I was like, oh, great. I didn't have it just from the smoke from the grill. And then and people's like, but why would it just start in the summer and not in the previous months? And it's like, I don't know. Migraines could just come out of anywhere. I don't have any history with migraines. And
So this was the first for you?
Yeah.
Ha. Huh. Okay. Thank you for prefacing that. I thought it was a regular thing. So this is the first time you started getting a migraine and the first time you experienced something for so long.
Yeah. Because like the only other time I've been into the hospital twice, I mean, for something like that, was a tension headache. And it was like a mix of migraine headache and a tension headache and something else. I forget the third one, but it was just a cluster of them. But this one just wouldn't go away from anything. And the only thing at this, and insurance was just a pain in the butt. They just fought me on everything, and I was ready to sue them. As like, this, I was like, you know what? That's when I had it up here with insurance, and I was like, one day I'm gonna get in front of Congress, and I'm gonna share them my whole story of hell I went through with insurance companies, and I'm going to put all the insurance companies back where they belong, in their own place. And mark my words, it's going to take me a while, but I have a while, and no one asked me to do it, but I'm going to do it, because you know what? So I want to paint you another picture, if you don't mind. So the amazing system we have in the United States, and I'm saying amazing by being sarcastic, so it's, at least in my state, I haven't been into every single state in the United States. So, at least in my state, there's, I can't get reimbursement for, and it doesn't seem like anybody can get reimbursement for going out of network on Medicaid or anything. And the reason why, and the ironic part is, I'm like, why? You offer transportation to things, and if somebody doesn't need the transportation, can there be just a way that you can just, okay, he doesn't need transportation. Okay, we save $145, whatever transportation and gas is cost in total. Okay, let's say we save $800 for this person. Okay, we pay $145 for his freaking telehealth. Oh, okay, simple math. But no, we don't have a great system like that. And And so some person in my county, an official from my county said, we don't do reimbursements because the person is just not in the Medicaid network. And I'm like, well, the reason why they're not in the Medicaid network is because guess what? You guys don't pay them on time anyway. So, and the regulations are baloney. And it's like, so I had to go out of network and you guys can't provide me anyone in network. So the reason I'm sharing this with you and the audience is the fun part is the company who's been deciding all of this has contracts in 27 other states. You know where the main headquarters are? It's in Phoenix, Arizona. So some schmuck in my county, and I say schmuck with the most kind-hearted way I know, talking about this, and all the way in Phoenix, Arizona, this company's headquarters is. So the state of Pennsylvania and 27 other states are okay to outsource mental health services. And granted, this company does have a location in Pennsylvania. But my whole point is, you feel safe enough to share data between states, not between states, but across borders, on the other half of the United States, with allowing them to have our offices in Pennsylvania. But I can go from Pennsylvania to New York over one state border. That seems fair. And yet, all their government officials, and I'm not speaking to politics, I don't care for either side, so everybody who's listened to me, I do not favor any side whatsoever. I'm just talking middle person. Don't care for any of them. My point is they're wondering why people have mental health challenges and can't get help and whatnot. This is why.
Yeah, Jimmy, I hear you because in your moment of need, when you really needed something, you came across all these resistances and unworkabilities that you shouldn't have had to like walls to climb over when you're already in a weakened state. And it's almost like they're there for the person to give up and never try.
Yep.
You know, just because it's almost like they know if we put these walls there, that person's in a fatigue state and they're not going to cost us any money if we put those walls there. And it's very easy to, when you're already fatigued, get angry and lash out. And that's like, to me, and it's very understandable when you're in a place of fatigue to get frustrated, angry, lash out. But for me, when I've been in states of fatigue, I noticed every time I got angry, it was a bit like only having $2 in the account and writing a check for $1,000. It just put me further under. I want to know, what was your lowest point in that 6 month journey, and what was the day? And I'm assuming you've come through this now. You're on the other side of it, or are you still in it?
I'm out on the other side.
Okay. So I would love to know two things. What was your lowest moment? And was there a moment, a day, or was it how did you come out of it? How did you know you were out of it?
So my lowest part was there was a day or two where I could barely eat because I was getting off of this the medication that was causing muscle weakness. I still have some other side effects from it. But then when my doctor put me on my new antidepressant, I know it didn't. When I asked AI this, because I was just kind of curious for my own learning and whatnot. So don't think I rely on AI for every little nook and cranny, but I trust my doctors, but I just like to learn stuff here and there on my own because, you know, I'm in the health and wellness area, not an expert in it, but I still like to learn. So when he put me on the new medication, it said that it would take 1 or 2 weeks for improvements. I started feeling improvement within like 4 days. And I was like, what? This feels so weird. and everything felt clearer, calmer, and it felt like my whole body has been in the matrix for like 31 years of weird. I mean, now when I say I'm in the matrix, I don't mean like I was high on or anything. This was me saying before I was on that medication, I was been on the fight or flight mode for my whole life, in survival mode to making rash decisions. I'm not going to get in the whole story of it because it's a long-ass story. Then even when I told some of my friends...
If I'm hearing you right, Jimmy, that new medication removed a blockage that had been there for so long. And once that blockage was removed, you had access to something that was always there, but you could never get access to. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. I mean, let's just say like the blockage was like... I had access to some of the things, but just didn't have everything... this access to it all. And then when I finally removed it, I was like, now I'm playing with... Now this is going to sound weird to everybody that I'm going to say this like this way, but so I had this, again, this is a longer story for another time, but let's just say I had a hiccup with a company that I'm not going to say the name of because I'll just go on a total big rant on it. But let's just say last year I would have metaphorically said a lot of rude stuff in an email that I cannot repeat on here. But and just to let you know, I do not say a lot of rude stuff to companies. But this company, this was the fifth time of them kicking me off of their platform. And so when I finally got onto this medication and I was already off of the platform, and after 2.5 months being on the medication, I started playing 4D chess. And I found so many things that were not, that did not work in their favor, that worked in my favor. And within 2 days after sharing what I would do with them and whatnot, they turned, put me back on their platform. I was like, checkmate. They never confirmed or not denied that I was right or wrong. But I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I press the button? I was like, did I?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. That's interesting. Because the Indians have that god with a couple of extra arms called Shiva. And that's called the remover of obstacles. And, you know, it sounds like you had something removed that had you access to a higher level of thinking that you could then engage with people in a much more proactive and less reactive way. And, yeah. You know, Jimmy, if no one said this, I want to acknowledge you for that 6 months you went through. That is no small thing, having that pain that you can't run away from with you 24/7, that would have taken a whole lot of human spirit to get through. And I just want to acknowledge you as one man to another for getting through that. Because who knows, in some other reality, Jimmy, there's a Jimmy who didn't deal with it the way this one did and has created a whole bunch of negative spiraling actions. So to be in the reality where you've chosen powerfully, I want to acknowledge you for that, and I hope that lands over there, mate.
Thank you. I mean, honestly, if you saw me growing up, I was literally the opposite of what I did in towards this company. I mean, I was always reactive, and actually looking back at it, some of the things that I did, I would say it'd be 80-20, meaning 80% something else that contributed to it, and 20, I'll take my responsibility on it. And I'm not saying that to being like, oh, it's always somebody else's fault. No, I was on the medication growing up that did not do me justice growing up in public school. So, and after doing some research on that medication, just because I was just interested in educating myself, my theory was actually right. I know I can't go back in time to change anything, but when I looked at the medication I'm on now and what year came out of the doctor at the time when I was seeing this person, I was like, would you like to do anything? Would you have done anything differently? Because it came out way in 2002, and I saw you in 2005, so there's at least 3 years of them, or maybe in 2008 I saw a person. So it's about 5 years to be able to 6 years to be able to make sure that there's no extra side effects and whatnot. And even if I couldn't get the generic didn't come out till 2012, so I was like, really? We stuck with the other one for, oh, well, because it was working. Was it working or was it hurting me?
Well, Jimmy, what advice would you give people listening if they're in a chronic pain, chronic situation, and they're really struggling to move forward? What advice, what options would you give them moving forward? How would you talk to the version of you that's stuck in that moment, looking back on it?
I wouldn't start... Since I'm a person who learns by asking a lot of questions, which I think I pissed off many developers was asking questions like, and I don't mean like asking questions like they're wrong. I'm asking questions like,
you're curious. You got a line of inquiry. Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah, but some developers who are, I know there's not a development person, but like. But I would ask questions was like, hey, is this the right medication for me? What's the side effects of this medication? What's the top three or top four? You know, let's say if you eat cereal or let's just say look at a food label, you know, the most important stuff is at the very, very top. And then, so you don't know what you're getting. And then the other stuff that is like, oh, it's in here, but there's not much of it in here or whatever.
So you're saying when you're working with, you know, the doctors or the people that are there to help you, ask more questions. Don't be satisfied with just what they give you. Go in there and want certain questions answered. That would be your advice to the other people in the same situation.
Yeah, and maybe phrase it as out of curiosity for my own interest, because it's not like you're saying I'm judging your expertise. No, I'm out of curiosity. I want to learn as what you know. So you're asking for a learning moment. You're not or teaching moment, and you want to learn. Hey, what will this do in the long term? Or why does this keep happening? Because when I did that, I started seeing more things clearer. I mean, just to give you another example, when I was asking, so back to the automation thing real quick, you know, I actually connected more things to the automation beginning of this year, and more of it has come into place and has gotten a lot of stress off of my mind, and I feel like my body can fully kind of heal from all the 6 month migraine plus the depression and everything else. And so I'm joking a lot now and like, oh, my mind's free. Last year, or if you asked me, can you joke about it? I was like, why are you so serious? And people said I was so down. And it's like, well, you'd be down too if you had 24/7 pain and you go to bed and you're in pain and you can't sleep. And And it's like, and even if you think I need extra help, well, maybe look at the context around what I've been saying. Even if it's not the perfect puzzle that I could give you the finished picture, as like, I could have lined you up as best I can. It's like, help me get out of this circle of hell. I was shaking the bars as much as I can. And I mean bars, I mean metal bars, not the actual...
Forget it.
Well, I mean, the reason why I was saying that is because the people who can watch might not be watching, it might be just be listening. So if there's like, oh, Jimmy doesn't drink. But I wasn't talking about that part.
Just to be precise, you don't want your loyal fans to be questioning your integrity. No, I get it, man. And thank you for sharing so openly about your low points and how the new medication really made a difference. And possibly if you ask the right questions when you're in the thick of it, it might have made all the difference. And I do have to ask, because we're coming up to about an hour now.
Yeah.
How's your year been? We touched base a few times, but we only touched base specifically on the first few occasions of, you know, you're now going to bed with breathwork and the Breathworking Bed app and getting out of bed. How, honestly, and you're not going to hurt my feelings, how consistently through the year did you use that? And when you did use it, what was your honest experience of that?
I used it for the first 6 months. And I was getting a very good night's sleep, and I'm not just saying that. The only reason why I stopped for the second 6 months was because I couldn't focus on anything. End of last year, I canceled many interviews. I canceled many speaking engagements. I barely even got through my science semester that I needed to finish my major in college. So, I missed, I think, 8 classes and I still passed the class. I got a B in the class, and it was like, and here I thought me and science hate each other, and yet here I am. I got a actual B instead of, I thought I was going to get a C. Not because I'm stupid, but me and science never worked together in the past. So I was like, what's changed? And it was actually the professor who did a really good job of teaching. It was like, where were you my whole life? So it's not that I wanted to stop. It was just like, if you asked me if I could focus on anything in the second half of last year, I couldn't focus on anything. I felt like I had ADHD. And I'm not making fun of anybody having ADHD or anything, but I mean, my brain was always racing. I couldn't even have anything calm. My blood pressure was up. I was everything. So it's not that I stopped because I just got bored of using it. I stopped because I couldn't calm anything down. I mean,
I get it. Certain things fall away when you go in survival mode. And you're never holding ground. You're either feeling good, making better choices that make you feel better, or you're feeling bad, you make bad choices and you get rid of the things that I understand the spiral. But I do acknowledge you for taking that on for 6 months. I know you used it to go to sleep. Did you use any of the wake up tracks?
Yeah, I like the one when you only drop the multiple F-bombs each time.
That's the hyper-masculine wake-up call.
Yes. I was like, well, I'm awake now.
And did you do your mirror work after that, Jimmy?
Yeah, exactly.
And yes, I would.
I mean, to be honest, you know, I have the Fitbit Premium that actually is some breathwork stuff here and there too. If I had to compare that to yours, yours is so much better. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I feel like whoever partnered with Fitbit and whatnot, they used AI voices. And honestly, I don't have any problems with AI to an extent, but it's like, at least be open and transparent. It's like, this was AI and whatnot.
Yeah, I think we owe people more going into their unconsciousness than something artificial. You want real, genuine human connection in that, going into that unconscious state. I'm a firm believer in protecting the unconscious. It's very much a thing in combat. If someone goes down, if they're unconscious, protect the unconscious. And then coming out of your unconscious, that's a very delicate space to be in too. And I noticed that if I didn't have some pre-prepared positivity to truck in, it's like automatically gravity fed, I had these negative thoughts coming in. And so if I lost the first 5 minutes of the day, I usually lose the day. But if I could win the first 5 minutes of the day, if I could have that little breathwork in bed notification just to tap and then to say, oh, Tim, breathe in, breathe out, rub this part of your body, move this part of your legs, remove all that stuck energy. It's like tired people don't want more stuff to do. They just want to say, here's what I want, do it for me, you know? And I only specialize in one thing, to help people sleep and get out of bed. But I the magic is Uber eating it in. Like, you want something, you just hit that button, you got it straight away. You don't have to work for it, you don't have to think about it, you just tap a button and it happens. And in the first 6 months when you were using it, did you notice any impacts on your the days when you were getting the good sleep?
Sharper, more able to focus.
More what focused?
I was more able to focus. Yeah, I don't think I said a correct sentence, but whatever. I was able to focus. I was able to just think more clearly, sleep better, no racing thoughts at night. Because when you have racing thoughts at night, guess what? You can't sleep. Fun. I love racing thoughts, said no one ever.
Well, yeah. Well, but the thing is, it wasn't until I was going through my divorce that I realized that my mind's like a garden. Whatever I water grows. And when I was watering the weeds of stress, they didn't just take over my mind garden. It's like eyeballs popped out of them and they became sentient. They become aware of the things I was doing that was feeding them. And if I tried to feed the positive side, these negative ones would take food from them to feed themselves. And what does that look like? So, you know, before you do some form of exercise, there's always a part of you going, oh, let's not do this now, let's do it later, let's find something to procrastinate with. They're the disempowered parts of you, knowing that once you do exercise and you become fully empowered, they get kicked out and they scream the loudest before they die. And at 2 a.m., they're used to running the show. And so many times when I've like, I should do some breath work, there's that part of me at 2 a.m. saying, breath work is BS, don't do that. Stay ruminating with your racing thoughts. But every time when I push that button and I breathe, the chemical override. So breath work isn't meditation. Meditation is thoughts controlling thoughts. And that might work for some people. When you got a train wreck going through your head, it's really hard to control that. Breath work is like a chemical override. It's like going to the side of your house and pulling the fuse box out. You know, it mechanically kicks those things out. But to get to that point, you do need a guided medicinal experience of your lungs. And this is why people realize it's not a set of lungs we have, it's a medicine cabinet with a lot of different shelves. You breathe a certain way, you elicit a certain response, and you do need to breathe for a certain duration to get that medicinal effect. And this is why I'm a big fan of it being guided, because if it's just me, I kind of lose myself. But if I'm staying in that space of listening to that cadence, all of a sudden this, my whole state changes. So people go, oh, breath work, I've been breathing my whole life. I'm like, well, that's like saying, oh, I've got a headache, and you pick up a Panadol and just lick it, or an aspirin and just lick it and then put it down. You'd need a medicinal dose of breath work for it to have the medicinal effect. And the nights when I haven't slept because of the racing thoughts, laying there doing breath work, I noticed acted like a patch. So if I wasn't sleeping between 2 and 4:30, if I was doing breath work during that time, when I woke up in the morning, I'm like, oh, you know what? I actually feel pretty good. You know, and shockingly, laying there doing breath work was a whole lot better than laying there thinking about racing thoughts.
I mean, you know, one other thing I wanted to bring up, I like when you say said that we should be more transparent to others. I don't know if you agree with this, but when I created the whole automation stuff, I trained AI to sound like me for social media marketing and whatnot. And that's pretty good, but I still post here and there what I can. But like I said, I don't replace it with everything, and I was not looking to replace. I'm just looking to expand my reach because, you know, I'm a creative person who can create podcast content, and I want to put all into everything. But, you know, think about it this way. You know how those bigger companies, they probably have like maybe X amount of people in marketing, and each person who's a marketer is one focus on one thing. Like, okay, maybe one's doing social media, one is doing email, one is doing ads, one something else, I'm doing something else. I'm doing like probably 20 plus people's jobs per day by myself. So if I'm using AI, yes, I'm using AI for my social media marketing posts, but I trained AI at least so it's not like, hey, user. You know, I actually did get some, though. I love the pitches that people come on my show, who try to come on my show, who says, hey, I really like your podcast about health and wellness. I got a great person for you. He's a person who's, this person buys and sells houses, and he would be great for your show about buying, selling houses. I'm like, huh? It's like you lost me. It's like first we talking about health and wellness, and we're talking buying and selling houses. It's like, what show have you been watching or listening to?
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy premium podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.